So Esther chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this was the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. So now this, every time this king is mentioned in the book of Esther, he's listed and named Ahasuerus. Now, historically, they think that his name, that this is King Xerxes. That's what he's known as historically. But so he had an alternative name is what they think. This is who they're confident that this is King Xerxes, who was very famous. And now this is the Medo-Persians are ruling now, and they've taken over some 50 years ago or so, taken over the Babylonian Empire, and they are reigning. Last week I was not sure if how far west they went, if they took over Asia Minor, and I saw a map here last week, and it does overtake the Medo-Persian Empire did take Asia Minor, what we call modern-day Turkey. So it went all the way west. It went right up to Greece, which explains that's why the next place to conquer was Greece. So they went up to the Greek border, and then went all the way down. They still Judean territory, this Palestine territory they had. They had all of Egypt, and went south all the way to Ethiopia. And then it went east all the way to India, which was on the east side of Iran, which is Persia, but modern-day Iran. So their border on the east was India, and the border on the west then was Greece. And now what Kaufman put together and how he figured how all this went down historically, and he got this from the historian Herodotus, that this chapter here is right before the campaign to go, they were going to try to take over Greece. And then they had this, the famous Battle of Thermopylae with the 300 Spartans that held off for about 3 days. The huge Persian army. But anyway, they eventually took them over. But then that was into year 3 into this battle. And then they go year 4, and it's in a naval battle that the Persians are attacking Greece, and Greece is greatly outnumbered again. And with the ships, but they end up fighting back and beating back the vaunted Persian Empire. And so that is the 4-year campaign that they are setting up for right here in Esther chapter 1, that what we're about to read about is a 6-month time when these different provinces come in. And Ahasuerus, or King Xerxes, is showing them the kingdom. And Kaufman said, obviously, having the generals come in and they're making their plans of how they're going to attack Greece. So that is the setting that we are here in Esther chapter 1, right before this, what ends up being a 4-year Greek campaign that is a failure for the Medo-Persian Empire. Okay, verse 2. In those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the citadel, and the citadel means the palace. And so he was there in Shushan, which we looked at last week also, but it's on the eastern side of Babylon. It's just to the east. Here's Babylon, and to the east of here is Shushan, still in modern-day Iraq. And Kaufman said that they ended up having that he had four different palaces that he would go to. But anyway, this is a palace that's like on the southeast side of the old Babylonian Empire. And so that's where he is for this 6 month of bringing in all of these generals and leaders to plan this 4 year attack on Greece. Verse 3, that in the third year of his reign, he made a feast for all of his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all. So this is 6 months that he ended up bringing in all of these leaders. Kaufman is confident that these were the generals, that even though it's not listed as generals, but they it was the officials and the nobles and princes of the provinces. And how he thought that this was done was on like a round robin type situation, to where each province would come at a separate time, and maybe they were there for a few days or a week, and then there was a new group coming in. So you'd have Egypt come in for a few days, then they would leave. Then you'd have Ethiopia come in and get their instruction, and then see how great of an empire that King Ahasuerus had. And then you'd have from the Asia Minor, all those provinces come in. And so it's just, he felt like it was a different area over a different time period, scheduled out over this 6 month period, and getting the instructions and plans of how they're going to attack Greece. Verse 5, and when these days were completed, the king made a feast lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan, the citadel, from great to small, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. So, now, after this 6 months was completed, then there is a 7 days of a feast to finish all off of the... You'd have thought that they'd been feasted out of this 6 month period, but he wanted to finish it off with a 7 day feast. Verse 6. There were white and blue linen curtains fastened with cords of fine linen, and purple on the silver rods, and marble pillars, and the couches were of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of alabaster, turquoise, and white and black marble. So it's all of the fineries that they have, they brought out, and even more, verse 7. And they served drinks in golden vessels, each vessel being different from the other, with white wine in abundance, according to the generosity of the king. And about these vessels, that brought to my mind what happened the night that the Medo-Persians took over the Babylonian Empire. They were having a banquet, like a pagan feast of a banquet. And the mistake that the Babylonians made is they brought out the drinking vessels that had come from Jerusalem and out of the temple. And so that's when God had his hand right on the wall, that they brought Daniel in, and that read that their kingdom was going to end that night. And it sure did. That's when the Medo-Persians took them over that night. They were already right there in their backyard and came right in. But that's what, whenever is talking about these drinking vessels, it reminded me of the end of the Babylonian Empire. In verse 8, in accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory. For so the king had ordered all the officers of his household that they should do according to each man's pleasure. So everyone could drink as much or as little alcohol as they wanted. And According to what happens here, obviously the king drinks more than he should have, and he makes a very poor decision that ultimately is, of course, with the providence of God, but it results in him losing his queen, but then ultimately is replaced with Esther, and ends up saving all of the Israelites that are left in the Medo-Persian Empire. Verse 9. Queen Vashti also made a feast for the women in the royal palace which belonged to King Ahasuerus. So she had... This was only the men that were attending this week-long feast with King Ahasuerus. Queen Vashti had all of the women in a separate facility and had their own feast for the women. And so they were separated here. And then this brings up the conflict and what sets up this whole book, these next three verses here. So verse 10. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mahuman, Bistha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, seven eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials. For she was beautiful to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, brought by his eunuchs. Therefore the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. So, there's various thoughts as to why Queen Vashti refuses to come out. Most every commentator and every resource that I've read or even videos to watch on the internet all says it's over modesty, and that she did not want to subject herself in front of all of these men. But Kaufman had a different take that he got from King Herodotus, not from the historian Herodotus. And what Herodotus recorded was that Xerxes II was born right after the Medo-Persians went to attack Greece. And so Kaufman, putting two and two together, surmised that it was Queen Vashti at this point that was expecting this child, the heir to the crown. And so since she was late in her pregnancy, then she refused to come out and subject herself to being before all of these men. She wanted to stay hidden and only with the women in the separate facility, which that makes the most sense to me of anything, since Herodotus recorded that that the heir to the throne was born right after they went on this Greek campaign, which they leave then... Kaufman surmised right after this chapter. And then there's 4 years period between chapter 1 and chapter 2. So any questions or comments on anything up to this point?